Welcome to Crossroads, the broadcast ministry of Montgomery's First Baptist Church, where you can discover God's personal plan and power to conquer your problems through Jesus Christ. Join us now as God's Word heals, encourages, and enlightens your spiritual life.
Come with me over to Matthew chapter 1. We'll start in verse 18, Matthew 1, verse 18, in just a moment. And as we begin, I just want to underline a great truth. I believe in angels. And I'm highly aware of angels for three reasons this time of year. Number one, angels are very prominent in the Christmas story. Number two, you will find angels mentioned from Genesis to Revelation. And number three, I'm married to Mary Ruth Wolf. And she's like an angel to me. I'm crazy about that Mary Ruth. I'm a wolf who married a fox, and she's also an angel. But let me clear up a common misconception. Sometimes we think that angels are like graduated human beings. And I think this is partly because of our common culture. For instance, in 1946, Jimmy Stewart had the famed movie, It's a Wonderful Life. And do you remember one of the basic features of the movie is that Jimmy Stewart lost some money and he was very depressed. He was going to take his life. And he met an angel named Clarence. And Clarence had to do some good deeds so he could earn his angelic wings. Clarence essentially was a graduated human being. But that's not what the Scripture says. The Scripture says that angels are a special category of God's creation. I've read many books on angels, but my favorite is Billy Graham's classic book simply entitled Angels. And let me borrow Billy Graham's definition. He said, an angel is simply God's supernatural agent sent to perform God's ministries and to declare God's message. That's what an angel does. Now, clustering around the birth of Jesus, there is a flurry of angelic activity. And what I'd like for us to do is to start looking at it in Matthew chapter 1. This is our first encounter with an angel, Matthew chapter 1. Let's start here in verse 18. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child of the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man, not wanting to disgrace her, desired to put her away secretly. And when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for that which has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for it is he who will save his people from their sins. Now all this took place that what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet might be fulfilled, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. Joseph arose from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took her as his wife and kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. Let's pray together. Oh, gracious Father, we thank you so much for the privilege of worship, and we thank you for the treasure of your word. Right now, we promise to come to full spiritual attention because, Lord, I ask that you would get me out of the way and that your spirit would take over this service. I pray that your spirit would deposit your transforming truth into every receptive heart. And I pray for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, here's what I want us to do. Let's look at the activity of angels and see how it's connected to the ministry of Jesus so that we can act like an angel. And the bottom line of acting like an angel is being a person who declares God's message and performs God's ministry. So let's begin with number one. We can note that angels, they announced his birth. Angels announced the birth of Jesus. Now, certainly, It's interesting to see how angels have been connected with the announcement of other births throughout the scripture. Let me give you a quick compendium. You start in Genesis chapter 16, and an angel came to a woman named Hagar and said, "You will have a son named Ishmael." But then fast forward to Genesis 18, and another angel came to Abraham and to Sarah and said, "In your old age," so you've had an infertility problem, "the promised son will come to you, and his name will be Isaac," meaning laughter. Fast forward to Judges chapter 13. In Judges chapter 13, an angel appears one day, shocks this man named Manoah. And Manoah is told that his wife will have a baby named Samson. Do you remember Samson in the Bible? That he-man with a she-weakness. And he even prescribed what his diet would be. He would be set aside from the womb to be a special servant of the living God. Now let's fast forward all the way to the New Testament. And we see this picture of the angel in Luke 1 coming to Zechariah. Zechariah has gone to the temple to minister to the Lord. And he has a theophany. In other words, he has a meeting with God. That angel comes and says, "You are going to have a son with your wife Elizabeth, and he will be the forerunner of the Messiah, and you will call him John." And it's such a stunning announcement that it takes Zechariah aback, and he says, "Time out." He begins to question him. He loses faith. And do you know what happens? He loses his voice too for a while. He couldn't talk until the baby was born, and he declares his name is John. Well, the angels were pretty busy during this season, because after Zechariah, the angel comes to Mary and says, "Mary, you are going to have a baby. And this will not be any baby. This will be the Son of God. You've been chosen to bear the Messiah, the Savior of humanity." And what does Mary do? She says, "Be it done to me as you have declared. I'm the doulos of God, the servant of God." So angel Gabriel then knows that Joseph is going to have a problem with this. And he goes, and we just read it in Matthew chapter 1, and he allays the fears of Joseph and says, "This baby that's coming, it's of the Lord. And what I want you to do is you're going to take care of that baby. You're going to protect that baby. You're going to parent that baby." And so Joseph trusts and obeys. But to me, the crowning announcement of the angels around the birth of Jesus is recorded on your worksheet. Please take note in Luke chapter 2. "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified." I bet you would be too. Several occasions I've been right there in the shepherd's field of Bethlehem, and it's easy to activate your sanctified imagination and think, what would it have been like to have been out here on a dark December night, and suddenly the darkness was shattered by this angelic glory. The Shekinah glory of God burst through. Can you imagine what it would have been like? Oh, you would be cowering in terror. And of course, the angel's first word is always what? "Fear not, fear not, for I bring you good news of great joy for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." And then they break into the Hallelujah chorus or some other angelic music. Can't you see it? They are announcing the Savior. The Savior of the world has come. Now, that takes me to our job. What's my job? Did you know that the word angel also is translated as messenger? So my job is to share the message of God. And the primary message of God is that we have a Savior in Jesus Christ. And you and I have the priceless privilege of sharing that message with any and everybody. You see, you have been designated by the Lord, my friend, to be the angel in your family, to be the angel at your workplace, to be the angel linked to the people that you meet and encounter. No matter where you go, no matter who you see, you ought to be an angel and share that good news, for unto you is born this day a Savior. So what do? We declare the message of God. And when you do it, you're acting just like an angel. Let's go to number two. We see that the angels assisted in the temptations, assisted in his temptations. It's interesting. We find in Matthew 4, verse 11, the scripture, when the devil left Jesus, angels attended him. Well, let's back into that statement. In Matthew chapter 3, Jesus is 30 years old. He comes to John the Baptist at the Jordan River. John is the forerunner of Jesus. He's like Elijah. He's preparing the way. And so Jesus says, John, I want you to baptize me. Now, when that moment occurred, put yourself there for a moment. Jesus is being baptized, and then there is a dove that descends on Jesus. And that dove is a representation of the Holy Spirit. And then this thunderous voice comes from heaven, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. So it's quite the moment. So Jesus is baptized and the dove descends. But always know this. Do you know what comes after the dove? Generally the devil. You got the dove in Matthew chapter 3, and you got the devil in Matthew chapter 4, the devil after the dove. I can't tell you how many times I've had a spiritual mountaintop followed by a valley. The devil after the dove. So you need to record that principle in your thinking, because that's how it works. The devil comes after the dove. So here's Jesus. He's had the high of the baptism, his Father's blessing. He goes out to prepare his heart and marinate for 40 days in the wilderness. And after that point, he is hungry. He is vulnerable. He's on low battery. And that's when the devil shows up. The devil shows up to try to take advantage of you when you're weakened. And so the devil attacks Jesus, and he attacks him at the core of his purpose. He wants to derail redemption. So what does Jesus do? He takes out the sword of the Word of God. And with three verses from Deuteronomy, he slashes Satan to pieces. You've got the same capacity. So this is what's happening. And then the Bible says, this is amazing, after Jesus had dealt with the devil, who attends to him? Angels. It says angels show up, and evidently they attend to him. The word here for attend is diakonos. It's the same word we find in Acts chapter 6 for deacon. They minister to him. They attend to him. I like that. In other words, we have the capacity to do that for one another, to minister to each other, to attend to one another. It reminds me of what happens over in 1 Kings chapter 19. There, Elijah, the great prophet, had defeated the prophets of Baal. 450 of them were wiped out. And then here, he is not afraid of 450 prophet guys, but he sure got afraid of one angry woman. Remember Jezebel? That's a lesson, guys. But anyway, Jezebel puts him on the run, and he runs and he runs and he runs and he runs till he gets down to a juniper bush, and he parks there. And there he is in deep depression. One day he's high as a kite on the mountain of Carmel. The next day he is low as a well digger's heel in the basement of depression. And what happens? God sends an angel. And what does he feed him? A cake. That's where you get angel food cake. Didn't y'all know that? Don't you kind of think that Jesus got an angel food cake also? There, after he had not eaten in 40 days. So here, Jesus is ministered to just like Elijah by the angels. And friends, that just tells me that we have the capacity to minister to people. Do you know anybody this Christmas season who's depressed? Do you know anybody who is hurting and they're at the basement of their emotions? Do you know anybody like that? I do. I know people who hate Christmas because it reminds them of what will never be again. And so maybe you need to go find an Elijah. Bake them an angel food cake, or take them the present of your presence and minister to them in Jesus' name. Essentially, become their angel. You become an angel when you declare God's message. You become an angel when you perform God's ministry of encouragement. Let's do number three. Look at number three. Affirmed in his teaching. Some of you may be thinking, oh, Jay, you know, that's kind of an archaic thought. Angels, would really people nowadays believe in things like that? Do you know what I always said is my baseline? My baseline is Jesus. Jesus believed in angels. Well, let me just show you. Angels are affirmed in the teaching of Jesus. Let's begin in Luke 15, verse 7, if you want to write that down. Luke 15, verse 7, Jesus said that when a sinner repents, angels rejoice. Now, this is quite a thought. In other words, you see somebody give their life to the Lord Jesus, the angels rejoice. At the first service, Susuk Yang's little boy, Elijah, came running down that aisle. And I got an idea, when he ran down that aisle, there was a party erupting in heaven. There were angels just kind of moonwalking. Can you just see that? I can just imagine the angels were having a party. And when people repent and they come to Christ, that's what happens. According to Jesus, I'm going to go with Jesus. Well, what about Luke 16, verse 22? Jesus tells a story about how a man named Lazarus, he dies, and he gets an angelic escort into the presence of God. That's an intriguing thought. So do you think angels take the spirits of the dead saints into the presence of God? That's what the Scripture seems to indicate. I cannot tell you, friends, how many times I have been present in near-death moments, and a saint is about to transition from earth to heaven, and I've knelt down beside many a person and prayed, "Oh, Father, would you send one of your tender angels to take this friend home?" I prayed that for my own father. And maybe you pray that for people, but that is a very legitimate prayer because Jesus said it so, that an angel escorted Lazarus into the presence of God in heaven. The Scripture, if you'll look here on Matthew 18, verse 10, on your worksheet, it says, "See," this is Jesus speaking, "see that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I tell you that their angels in heaven always look and see the face of my Father in heaven." This is where we get the concept of a guardian angel from. Let me ask you this. Have you ever had an experience when you thought you were going to have an automobile wreck or something catastrophic was going to happen, and all of a sudden there was a veer, there was a change? I've had that happen several times. And I'm telling you, I believe that God has guardian angels. You can either receive that or reject it, but Jesus seems to affirm it. He says that the little ones have angels that are linked to the Lord. For many years, you need to write the Scripture down, parents. Write down Psalm 91:11. I pray Psalm 91:11 for my children every day, that God would set His angelic guard around my children and my grandchildren and special friends. Now, I would urge you to learn to pray for God's guardianship. That same prayer is echoed in Psalm 34. You see, angels are real. They are the messengers and special agents of God. And so we see angelic work. For instance, in Daniel's life, it's recorded in Daniel 6, verse 23. When Daniel was in the lion's den and was just about to be eaten, the Bible says that the angel of the Lord closed the mouth of the lion. What about in Acts chapter 12? Peter was in jail and supposed to be executed the next day, and the Lord sends an angel to free him. In Acts chapter 27, Paul is in despair in the storm. It looks like they're going to be wrecked and all will be lost, and God sends an angel to encourage the great missionary Paul. Friends, I would have you understand that angels are real, and they have a place in protecting God's children. In Billy Graham's classic book, he tells the story of a missionary named John Patton. John Patton went to the New Hebrides Islands, which is near New Zealand. And these people were known to be cannibalistic. That is, they would not only have you for lunch, they would actually have you for lunch. They were like cannibals. By the way, do you know why a cannibal doesn't eat a clown? Because they taste funny. Nonetheless, so here, John Patton, he has gone into this dangerous region. His life is on the line. And instead of being eaten, he sees the entire island come to faith in Christ. It's one of the great stories of missions. And when the chief of the island came to the Lord, he sat down with Patton and he explained that initially all of the islanders had decided right when he landed to attack him and kill him and eat him. And John Patton said, "Why didn't you do it?" He said, "Because when we came to attack you that night, there were huge guardians surrounding your camp. Now, you can take that and throw it away, but I'm telling you, God had a plan and a purpose, and angels are for real. And God tells us about their activity, and they are here to protect us. This is the teaching of Jesus. They were available at his death, number four, available at his death. Scripture tells us in Matthew 26, verse 53, Jesus said, "Do you think I cannot call on my Father, and he will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels?" Or let's do a little math, 12 legions of angels. A legion is 6,000 soldiers, 6,000 soldiers. 6 times 12 would be 72,000. Now, if you go to Isaiah chapter 37, there's a moment in the scripture where God sends one angel to attack the Assyrian army that is sieging Jerusalem. And in 1 hour, that one angel kills 186,000 battle-hardened Assyrian troops. Wipes them out like that. All right, let's do one more multiplication. 72,000 times 186,000 equals 13.3 billion. In other words, Jesus had at his disposal an army that had the capacity to kill 13 billion people in an hour. Now, in my sanctified imagination, I got an idea. Those 72,000 angels were hanging over the balcony of heaven, hoping Jesus would say, "Sick 'em, boys." But Jesus didn't come to kill us. He came to save us. Praise God. You see, this is quite the moment. Jesus had the capacity to harness these angels. And most of the angels, when I think of them, don't have a harp in their hand. They got a sword. And they're powerful, fearsome creatures that can protect you. Well, let's do number five. You see, they were active at the resurrection. Fast forward all the way to Easter Sunday morning. And there you see Mary Magdalene at the tomb. And the scripture says on your worksheet in Matthew 28, verse 2, there was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat upon it. Can you imagine that moment of Easter Sunday morning? That angel came down, took that stone, flipped it over like a frisbee, and just parked on it. And here comes Mary. You see, the stone wasn't removed for Jesus to get out. The stone was removed so we could look in. And here is that angel, and the angel makes a declaration to Mary Magdalene, who's come to anoint the body of Jesus. And he says, "Come and see, then go and tell." This is our primary goal. This is the job of being a Christ follower. We come and we see, and then we go and we tell. And in that moment, when you tell, you're acting like an angel. Well, this is a picture of how the angels worked at the resurrection of Jesus. And if you want a bonus feature, mark down Acts 1:11. When Jesus ascended into heaven, in Acts chapter 1:11, Jesus is taken up into a cloud, and the disciples are staring there stunned. And this angel shows up and simply makes the declaration, "In the same way you have seen Jesus leave, he will come again." But don't just stand there staring. You got a job to do. Go to work. Tell the world this good news about Jesus. So we see the angels, and again, number six, at the second coming. At the second coming. Would you make this note? Accompanying him at the second coming. Oh, this is astonishing. Look at what Jesus said in Matthew 24. He said, "He will send his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heavens to the other." Jesus states that linked to his second coming, there will be a great ingathering. Some people call it the rapture. If you've ever read Left Behind, that Tim LaHaye and Fred Jenkins book, it talks about the rapture of the church. How in the fullness of time, when everything is completed, then God will bring his people home, his family home. I don't know about you, but that makes me not look for the undertaker, but for the upper taker one day. I mean, that's going to be something. I did see a funny bumper sticker about the rapture. The bumper sticker read, "In case of rapture, the car will be temporarily out of control as my mother-in-law takes the wheel." I'm not sure what the implication is, but anyway, I don't know. I got a kick out of that. But the rapture is when all of a sudden you're gone, you're extracted, and then all hell breaks loose. There will be a period of time when evil will fully reign. God still is going to be at work. And this isn't the time to preach a full message on the book of Revelation, but you can know this, Jesus is coming back. And when he wraps up time in history, his angels will help, not only delivering the saints to heaven, but also know that they will be escorting those who've rebelled against God to the horrors of hell. That's what the scripture says in Matthew 13. In Matthew 13, the scripture says in verse 41, "The Son of Man will send out his angels. They will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. They will throw them into the blazing furnace where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." You see, that's the flip side of God's love is judgment, friends. There's never been a one-sided coin. And so this is the ministry of angels, which brings us to the summation. And let me close this message and sum it up with a simple conclusion. You see, like an angel, serve as God's messenger and minister. Serve as his messenger who declares his good news that Jesus is the Savior of the world. Serve as his minister that performs acts of service, kindness, and encouragement. And then you'll be like an angel. You'll be acting like an angel. Did you know I saw this yesterday? I saw it yesterday. As a matter of fact, I went over to the Caring Center for our annual Santa's Workshop. We have about 55 kids that come to the tutoring program. And I looked and I saw an angel. Well, it really looked like Amy Smith and Jesse Jacobs and Mary Ruth Wolf. But I really, they're angels in my book because we're acting just like angels. Ministering to those young kids, serving them, letting them have the dignity of taking gifts to their family. I saw an angel named Tim Kearley, and then I saw another angel named Rhonda Thompson. She was telling those kids about Jesus and preparing them to receive their gifts and the great gift of Jesus. And then I saw the Powells. Oh, they look like Tim and Sheree Powell, but really, in my book, they were angels, wrapping those gifts, making them look so special. You'd have thought we were a department store over there yesterday. And then I saw Sean Peterson and Lori, but I think they were really angels. You know, angels make angel food cake, but that angel made Kaneka sausage. Oh, man, that was some kind of good. Kaneka sausage and homemade sweet rolls. But you see, these were really people, as we learn in the book of Hebrews, maybe who were acting like angels in disguise. Then I walked across the street. I saw some more angels. I saw the International Sunday School group entertaining and having the Christmas party for all the Thai and Laotians. And here is Carolyn Bryan and Raton. And they kind of looked like Carolyn and Raton, but I think they were really angels. We had 80 people there, and oh, the food, my gracious, look at the food they had for their Christmas celebration. I'm still full of Thai food, I can tell you that, sticky rice and everything else. What were they doing? They were being angels. They were declaring the message of God and performing the ministry of God, and we are called to do the same. Let's pray. Oh, Father.
Thank you for sharing worship with us. We trust God has used this broadcast for your spiritual growth and encouragement. If this ministry has touched your life, please let us know. If you'd like to share in the cost of this broadcast, you may send your gifts and support to First Baptist Church. Your partnership with us will help strengthen and extend this ministry and will be greatly appreciated. And remember, when you are at the crossroads, follow Christ.